Welcome back to Backdoor Cover. It is September 11th, 2017. Never forget. I am Ross Bolin here with Dan Magister and Dylan Shivery.
Micah, play the Shane O'Mac Here Comes the Money music, baby.
What is Shane O'Mac Here Comes the Money?
Are you not familiar with Shane McMahon from WWF?
I am. You said O'Mac.
Yeah, Shane O'Mac.
You introduced us both at the same time, and it completely threw me off.
We definitely need that music playing right now, though.
Just I do want to say I'm happy to be back in the booth after an exciting weekend of college and NFL football.
It was. God, it feels good to have all to of be the a footballs gangster. Back. And to be a gangster.
Yes.
Yeah, it always feels good to be a gangster. As a reminder, we will be having a Monday and Thursday podcast every week during college football and the NFL season. This is our first full normal week, thanks to Labor Day being last week. So we got today's Monday pod. We'll be back Thursday to talk more sports. But this week, let's get started with college football and how we did with our picks. Dan, fucking crushing it. Had a great weekend. Would you end up?
Do you actually take these picks like IRL and put money
Well, on? So the big games that we usually pick on the podcast, I do not. But the picks that I gave out, the goodness of my heart, went 6-1 this week. I actually tweet out my stub, how much I bet. I'm $100 units.
What's your Twitter?
Dan_Register.
Follow Dan. He's on fire right now.
And do you adjust your units? According to confidence.
No, I'm gonna go. My strategy this year is
just a one unit guy.
Stick with the one units, no matter how confident I am.
That is a very good idea.
Because like. That's where I get into my problems last year, especially in Vegas, is when I'm like, oh, yeah, like I need to just up the ante. No, I got to stick with the strategy.
Ross, I bet you've done this. Have you ever subscribed to one of those gambling advice? It's like
they send you picks?
Yeah, they send
multiple
you picks.
Multiple times, yes.
I did one a long time ago. Like, me and a few buddies actually split it. It was like he was like $2,500 or like $3,000 for the season.
Right.
And he would, according to his confidence in the pick, he would, you know, give out more units.
Changes the units, yeah.
He was so bad. Yeah. We paid this guy like almost $3,000.
Yeah, so
he was so bad that we stopped using him halfway through because my picks were better than his. I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
The first year that I really started big on sports gambling, I bought in one of these for the NFL season with like 15 other guys. We all you know, paid for, it's like something like $3,000. Not each. We split it up.
Right.
And yeah, the guys, it gets really complicated, and then they start to reel. Like, they hit full tilt when shit's going wrong and all their clients are emailing them, like, bitching. All of these guys are full of shit.
I think he had, like, he only had five-unit plays a year.
Right.
And they're, like, his, like, absolute locks of the year.
And they all lost.
And he missed all three of them, I think. I was like, this
dude,
is
I wonder, what year was this?
Oh, this is a
long time ago.
10 years
okay,
ago.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I know I'm going to come back crashing to reality. Like, September, first few months, the first month, September, super easy, college football. Vegas hasn't figured it out yet. Once October, November come around, I know I'm going to be like up at 2 a.m. watching a Pac-12 after dark game, just trying to like break even, just like hoping for like an over-under.
I mean, yeah, that's coming at some point.
Yeah, it's going to come. But
why would you even bring that up? You got to ride the wave, man.
Have to.
Got to ride the wave.
I want to be ignorant.
Yeah, no, I mean, never mind the negativity. But God almighty, those never, ever. Subscribe to one of those pick services for any reason whatsoever. If you have absolutely no idea what you're doing and you want to get into gambling, it's fun and it'll, I mean, but you're going to lose.
Here's the general rule of thumb that a lot of people are asking me about, like, since I'm clearly hot, 10-2 on the season, no big deal. But you want to go against the public. You want to bet on dog shit teams and you want to take points.
Generally, yes. Yeah. As a great example, I mean, we're not to the NFL segment yet, but we'll just jump to this one game. That New England spread was insane. That was totally unrealistic.
Yes.
And that was totally based on public money.
90% of the money was on New England.
That was idiotic.
The public. Yeah.
That was idiotic. Yeah. Most of the time, if you can figure out what the public is on and fade the public, you're going to have like a 65% chance of winning.
And here's another
same theory as betting with the house and
which is still
casino,
shit.
Basically, is it a similar theory?
What's the casino version of that?
Betting with the house, like some people, you can bet like in craps, for example, you have an opportunity to bet with the house.
Right. Yeah, similar.
Is it a similar theory?
So everyone
similar
in the theory. Table hates you.
Right.
Well, it's the theory, really, is that the general population is stupid,
which is true,
and they're going to tilt the line, because you know the more money put on, if the game starts at New England minus seven, and then the public unloads on the Pats and ends up at like plus nine, it probably should have never been at plus seven in the first minus seven in the first place. They're just trying to get the public.
The public's making decisions off emotion and what they see, like the week before.
Well, but also there's people are dumb.
Yes.
So yeah, you want to go on the other side of the general population.
Like obviously the public is still going to be right sometime.
Like right. This isn't like some flawless strategy. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're not 100%
I think
win.
If you fade the public every game, you probably get somewhere around like 60%, which like, is still fucking terrible.
Which is professional gamblers. Like
that's what they want. Yeah.
You want 60%.
But professional gamblers are crazy people. And that is an insane lifestyle to live where you're hinging on
week to week
being able to get to 60% correctness. So I don't recommend doing that. I recommend taking like a few games that you like Dan has been doing so far. That way when you have a good week, it feels really good. Yeah, you're going to get fucked in the end no matter what and lose all your money, but at least for a while, like Dan's going to have the best few days of his life here until the games kick back up.
It's been a fantastic weekend for your boy.
Until you wager
more. Until Thursday. So
but no, I'm not wagering more. That's the strategy this year. Stick with my one unit, $100 a game, and just like ride it out.
I also want to double down on that point. Like, you should pick a unit, whether it's some people it's $20, some people it's $50, some people it's $100. Do not break it and don't have 3-unit games and 5-unit games and 2-unit.
Especially just to fucking dig yourself out of a hole. You don't want
that. Oh, my God. No. And there's no. But the worst thing ever is when you, let's say you pick 4 games and 3 of them you did one in one unit and then your super confident lock that you were all psyched about, you did 4 units. You just fucked yourself even though you went 3-1 if the lock loses. So it's not as fun until they all win and then you think that strategy's good and then the next week you lose like $2,000. And I've never done that.
Sticking to a unit is actually a really smart strategy.
Self-control.
It is. Like I'm going to go back to the casino analogy
here.
If I'm on a cold run, like playing blackjack, let's say I'm just doing $20 hands or whatever.
Right.
And I lose, you know, 5 in a row. Like, yes, if you, like, put down a $100 bet and win it, you're going to get all that back. And then you get it back.
Which
just
is
like
so
that.
Tempting.
But that is such a stupid thing to do.
Yes.
Because you're still likely to lose that bet.
Yeah, what
and then you're down $200.
What is that Kevin Spacey movie about the MIT team that goes to Vegas, 21?
I think it's called 21, yeah.
Where the guy gets emotional and he's he kicks him off the team because like he's like, you didn't let strategy come into play.
That's a really good movie, by the way, if you haven't seen that. Good gambling movie.
I don't know if I've seen that one.
It always reminds me of the scene in I think it's Casino, where they've got this big whale from Japan that comes into the casino. And Robert De Niro, the guy crushes it. He cleans up. Let's say he wins like $3 million or something. So De Niro makes his plane, his private plane that they flew him in on, like not work. Like, oh, we're having engine problems. You can't quite leave
yet.
They comp all of his rooms. They're like, just spend a little more time here. The whale goes into the tables playing blackjack, and he's playing way lower than he was originally, like 30K a hand or something. But when he wins, he still feels like he's losing because of the difference in the unit he would normally have been playing. So then he starts to up his bets. He fucking loses all of it back and more than
what he originally won.
And that's like the story of every gambler's life ever. Ever. Because
it's all about, like, at the end of the day, you lose when you get greedy.
And you got to pick, that's why you got to pick a unit that when you win makes you feel good and when you lose is concerning.
You're going to have good
and
times.
And you stick with that shit and do not change it.
And you're going to have bad times. Like, I'm going to have a 1-6 week. I know it's coming. But until then, just ride it out and hopefully I'll be above 500.
It's all about positive
vibes.
It's
all about being above 500.
I went 2-2 on the picks we gave you guys. Dan went 3-1 on the ones he gave us officially. 6-1 on the ones he gave out of the goodness of his heart, as he said.
Boy went 3-1.
Dylan went 3-1. A good week all around for the backdoor cover crew.
And you know, we gave out some good stats for you guys too, if you didn't pick up. Like we gave you that Auburn Clemson under. Like,
yes.
That was just easy money.
Lock.
Yeah. That Jets Bills pick. Like, how do you not go with that? That was the easiest under the like century.
That one I'm shocked. I'm wondering if that was a public bet that won, because that seems like everybody should have bet the under on that game, right?
Yeah,
surely the public was on the under, not the over. And so, like we said, sometimes that shit works out.
Now, something that didn't work out was our Colorado Buffs. They didn't cover.
Yeah, Buffs played Texas State.
Well, they ran into the buzzsaw in Texas State.
They did. The Bobcats put up an astounding 3 points.
Yeah, but
in
they
an
held
entire
them.
Football game, they managed one field goal.
So it
do you know
was
how fucking hard that
great
is?
Great teams cover, though, and the Bobcats covered.
Yep.
They did cover.
Good teams win, great teams cover. Obviously, the Buffs this year, they're just not a great team.
So Dan, are we out on the Buffs?
Not yet.
1-1 against the spread.
But Mike McIntyre, you're on thin ice. All right. Here's the thing. 34-point game, 4th and 6, chip shot field goal for the Buffs, and McIntyre decides to go for it. Is he just, like, fucking with us?
No, he wanted to get an extra play in for his guys. The game was over.
I think he's conscious of the line. You have to be at this point. Mike brought up a good point. Go ahead, Mike. I'll let you discuss.
Yeah, just the fact that they started the season, what, 10-11-0 last season against the spread?
I think 10-0, yeah.
I feel like the coach has to be at least mildly aware of the spread, and he knows the best way to win over a fan base is to win, first of all, and second of all, to make the gamblers happy.
Then he should have kicked the fucking field goal.
I think there's... No, I disagree.
Here's maybe the thing, too. Figures he got his raise coaches and he got all the leverage last season. He's not going to fuck
with it
this year.
The entire game,
but.
Colorado's in Texas State territory. The entire game, they're selling for field goals. So they somehow measle out 37 points. The kicker's just drilling field goals left and right.
Well, the entire third quarter, they're settling for field goals.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they have another chip shot field goal, like 40-yarder. The guy's been hitting them all day. 4th and 6, and he's just like, you know what? We're going to go for it. They complete a 5-yard pass, turnover on downs. Texas State runs out the clock, and your boy is just like, he's broken. Like,
yeah,
his heart is broken.
It was a tough loss, especially when it's your only loss.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the kind of shit that happens, though. You know, fucking can't trust the Bobcats. 3 points. They got one field goal in the third quarter. Also, I got to say, it concerns me a little going forward. Like, Colorado's got to feel pretty good right now, 2-0, 1-0 at home. But this is, if you can only put up 37 on Texas State, you got to be able to score more than that. That's not a great indication of where they're at.
Yeah, Montez hasn't really been putting up the numbers I thought he would, their quarterback.
Right.
Hasn't really been filling in for the shoes of Cepho.
Cepho. Was that our boy last year?
Cepho LeFou. Yeah. Also noted Hard Knocks guy that got cut.
Yeah. It happens on Hard Knocks. Got to watch those cuts.
I'm ready to talk Baker Mayfield when y'all are.
Shall we? Big winners of the week. OU and Baker Mayfield. Planted the flag at midfield after the game.
I'll let Dylan take this, and then I'll play devil's advocate.
I have a few things to say. First of all, OU's, they look like they're for real. Very good football team.
Yeah, that was a very impressive
win. Into a very hostile environment. And although I think JT Barrett is a very, very overrated thrower of the football.
Oh, he's done.
He's not a good quarterback.
Whatever JT Barrett was before the injury when Cardale Jones took over, he's no longer there. The old JT Barrett's dead.
But again, that's Ohio State. They were ranked number 2, and they played at the Shoe. That is a very difficult place to play. OU came in and just kind of ran away with it in the second half. Very impressive win. Baker Mayfield had a ridiculous second half.
He torched that secondary that we told you was super young.
They lost some offensive talent to the NFL, and they still looked great. So, credit to OU. Now, after the game, big news. Baker Mayfield took the OU flag from, I guess, the band or something.
Who knows?
And
got a flag.
He ran around the field with it, went to center, you know, midfield, and waved it around and planted the OU flag right there on the O for Ohio State.
And I want to make a clarification. He attempted to plant it.
Well, it was turf. It was artificial turf. Yeah, you can't plant it into that ground.
Well, it would have been a lot cooler if he did.
Right. It was still cool.
It was cool. The implication was he planted it there, and that was basically laying claim to their field, right?
Yes, that would be the implication.
I said this on Twitter, and I'll repeat it here. In case you don't follow me, that's at @dshivery on Twitter, 4 E's. Anyway, if this was my team, if I was an Oklahoma fan, I would love this move.
Oh,
because
of course.
When your quarterback shows that kind of arrogance,
the kind of moxie,
cockiness, the audacity to do something like that after making a huge win, that's huge. Like, you love that. Anyone else should hate this move because it's disrespectful. He's a little shit. I said so last week. I said I can't stand this guy. I said he's insufferable. He walks like he owns, like he's just God's gift to the world. This was a shit shitbag move.
Wrong.
That only OU fans should appreciate. Well, everyone else should hate it.
As a noted not OU fan, I love this move, especially because it was against Ohio State. If there's one team you can do this against besides Alabama, I think it's Ohio State. That you could actually get the public side to like agree with you on.
If you did this to Alabama, you would not make it back to your hotel room.
Yeah, probably.
Their fan base would destroy you.
Ohio State has some pretty
rabid fans.
Not as rabid as Alabama.
Man, they throw like full beer cans at
but
people.
But I'm dead.
Yeah, I think Harvey Updike would probably murder Baker Mayfield if he did this at Alabama. But at the
I
same
love
time,
the move from Mayfield. I thought it was awesome.
It was great.
But
and I love the kid. I love his moxie. I love everything about Baker Mayfield. He's my guy.
The Ohio State fan base should be irate.
Yes.
You do not do that shit. It's like you said, it is disrespectful.
Another thing I want to point out, this isn't a conference opponent. This isn't a recurring game. They had a home-and-home series. Now it is over. Who right. knows the next time they're going to meet on the field? So this is like Ohio State has no chance to.
It's kind of a bitch move because there's no repercussions.
They can't punch back.
So Baker said this was kind of a response to Ohio State.
Which is obviously complete bullshit, as we know.
Ohio State singing their fight song on Oklahoma's
field last year. Which is a very normal thing to do that happens all the fucking
Look,
time.
Mayfield is a really, really cocky guy. I get that, and I get why you don't like him. I understand.
I like his story.
I saw
like everything about the kid.
A video of him hitting the whip over and over in a circle.
Oh, that's a few years old, but that's
No,
that's
he did it again.
He did it again?
Yeah, he did it this weekend. And
he's still hitting the whip?
he hit the nae-nae, he hit the whip. He hit
Did
all
he hit the Quan, though?
It was 2000. He might have Quan. I'm not sure. It was like 2016 in this guy's mind still. But if there's going to be a time in your life that you're allowed to act like a total and complete asshole, it's after you go 27-35 for 386 yards and three touchdowns against the number two school in the world.
When you push the number two school in the country shit in.
Yeah. A 31-16 win is not like some like, oh, you won on a last second field goal.
Again, huge credit to the way he played and the way that OU played.
I'm giving him a little bit.
Also, let's also keep in mind, he could be the first player since 1940s to finish in the Heisman race, the top five, 3 years in a row.
That's
going to happen. That hasn't happened since the 40s.
Oof. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It was a fucked up thing, but I'm trying to give him a little bit of credit here. If you're going to pull something fucked up off, this is the time. That was it. It was his chance. Now he should probably reel it in for the rest of the season. You can't just act like an asshole every weekend.
Or you can. I think you go full heel. You can be the heel of college football.
No, you cannot.
I'm trying to think of the last time there was a heel in college football.
Johnny Football?
He wasn't a heel. He was respectful on the field. He was just a jackass off
like
the field.
The Boz was a heel.
He was kind of a cocky asshole, though.
The Boz.
The Boz. Also OU.
Oh man!
See,
yeah,
I don't necessarily see like I kind of like Mayfield's got like Johnny Football in him. He's got that vibe. He can ball out, and he's just cocky asshole. I like that. That's what I want in my quarterback.
They carried themselves differently, though.
Johnny was respectful of the game.
Was he?
Yes.
On the field.
On the field, he was respectful.
Maybe not in the NFL when he was throwing birds around, but
I don't know.
In college,
he was doing the money signs.
Dude, he was. Somewhere along the way, Manziel lost his path to the point that it is no longer even worthy of us discussing on this podcast. But I don't put them in the same.
All-time great in college, so Baker's going to be an all-time great in college as well.
But isn't Mayfield supposed to be like he'll get drafted relatively high?
No.
He's going to be like
he's not a big prospect.
He'll be in the league
because of his size too.
He's not a huge guy. He doesn't have a live arm.
Yeah, he'll be in the league.
What the fuck does that mean?
He'll carry a clipboard.
He doesn't sling it. I mean, he can throw the ball really well, but he doesn't have an NFL caliber.
So he'd be
arm.
Backup somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. He'll be in the league. He can be in the league.
He'll be like
years.
A Chase Daniel in the NFL, which is a great career.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, it is. I'd do that. Well, let's move on to Clemson Auburn. This was the one that we just crushed the under on.
Yeah. And
it was quite boring.
No, I mean, it's very evident that Clemson's defense is legit as fuck.
Yeah, it was terrible. They couldn't do anything.
I think it's good enough to carry like this team to another, like to repeat as national champions, if we're being honest.
Where are they ranked right now?
Three. Based on what you've seen so far?
Based on what I've seen so far, Kelly Bryant Jr. is a serviceable enough quarterback to win a championship.
To ride that defense.
I didn't even
see defense.
Them release the updated top 10. Have they done that? Or the top 25? Have they done that?
Yeah.
What did OU jump to?
OU's two.
Yeah. From five to two.
Just they switch places with Ohio State.
So after 2 weeks of college football, I think the top five is as apparent as it's ever been. So like Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, USC, Penn State, I think those are clearly the five top teams in the country.
Yeah, that's pretty clear cut.
It's very easy.
What we've seen, it would not shock me if we ended up with something along the lines of the top five we have now when the season's said and done.
Right, because especially like USC, they just played their hardest game of the season in Stanford.
And that it didn't look very hard.
No.
Excuse me. They play Texas this weekend, sir.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a big one.
Oh, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Clemson-Auburn, if I have to watch your fucking defense shut somebody down so that they only hit two field goals in the first half and then they put up a goose egg in the second half,
so
it's not a watchable football game.
But they held this kid, Jarrett Stidham, who's a transfer from Baylor, who put up numbers at Baylor when he played, to 79 yards passing.
That's not what you want.
How about those Baylor Bears, by the way?
Oh, my God. Fuck, is that not on a rundown? Can we just make fun of them real quick?
Yeah, go.
They worth mentioning now? You can always make fun of Baylor.
Okay. Are they worth mentioning?
Baylor lost. We're Texas people here, so it's probably a bigger story to us than it is.
It says up there, worst loss, Micah's pick. The Roadrunners over the Baylor Bears.
This is my pick for the worst loss of the week.
It's also big to our podcast because UTSA is
we
the
hate
noted,
UTSA.
Yeah, noted rival of podcast.
This is like a perfect storm for our podcast.
So being Texas guys, Baylor's program has been through a lot over the past few seasons.
UTSA, that program is like 5 years old.
It's been around for a cup of coffee.
Right.
UTSA has done surprisingly well. I will give them this. With the size of their school. And
the fact that 5 years ago they didn't have a program.
Give them no credit, Ross. Give them no credit.
They pound on Texas State when we play them.
Oh,
and
really?
We should be on the same level. I guess you're right. Maybe I shouldn't give them too much credit.
No, fuck,
they're
fuck
doing
the
what
runners.
You're supposed to do, which is recruit football players to play the sport of football, while Texas State is just jacking off into a river.
UTSA started their football program in 2011. And that's not like they were playing Division II before that. They had never had a team.
Right.
And
they
Texas,
didn't have a team.
That's what makes what Texas State has been able to not accomplish so shameful. It's UTSA. It's the fucking Roadrunners. It's UT San Antonio. It's an offshoot of an actual school whose football program sucks. And they're still able... I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Was disrespectful.
The program doesn't suck. The team currently is not good.
Point being, Baylor went from the highest of highs that they've ever had a few years ago
being a rape fest and losing to UTSA.
To a rape festival, yeah. This is as low as it gets. Losing to the Roadrunners after being a top 10 school for a few years.
After losing to Lamar.
Is bad. Very.
Back-to-back losses.
Very bad.
Like, they weren't a good program before Art Briles. Like, they were very, very bad, but this is... I don't think they were this bad ever.
Baylor is Dunsky.
Yeah.
Dead. They will not be talked about probably the rest of the season.
They got a new stadium out of their success.
The house Robert Griffin
their
built.
Brief
the house RG3 built, yeah.
Yeah.
17-10, they lost to the fucking Roadrunners? Holy shit.
They put 10 points up against UTSA.
It's funny, like, every Baylor person that I know... It was just dead silent. Like, no chatter on Facebook.
What do you even say at this point?
I would probably...
Like, what was it, just 3 years ago, they were riding so high. Like,
it sucks,
Baylor football fans were... they had swagger. Now they don't even talk.
It's just another reminder of why you don't rape. You know?
Yeah.
That's why.
Again, we are an anti-rape podcast. We need to make
very
that clear.
Against all kinds of sexual assault in any way, shape, or form. We're even against most forms of sexual harassment.
Speaking of rape, the Catholic Church, Notre Dame, Georgia.
Oh.
Wow, that's a segue.
It's a nice little transition there.
Okay.
What happened in Notre Dame, Georgia, Dan?
Georgia came back, picked up the W. Just like I think I said on last podcast, at least I said they would cover. Jacob Fromm actually looked pretty decent. I think he's probably better quarterback than Jacob Eason. I think they could probably stick with Fromm for the rest of the season. And probably be better for it.
They snuck out a 1-point victory.
Yeah. And did you see any of the photos from the Notre Dame game, like the crowd? It was all Georgia red.
Yeah. That was pretty impressive.
Granted, Micah brought this up earlier too. Notre Dame's a destination game. If you're going to go to like
for sure.
travel.
Yeah, it's a historic site.
Touchdown Jesus.
Yeah. No, I mean, but it's still, the photos I saw were like alarming. It was like, holy shit, Notre Dame. I mean, they're ranked. It's not like Notre Dame is trash.
They might be. It's kind of like classic Texas, Notre Dame, like all these teams.
Like they're just ranked because
preseason
they
ranking
feel like
of the
they
name.
Should be.
Yeah. I don't think Notre Dame is very good.
Well, they might not be ranked anymore.
I don't think Georgia's very good.
I think Notre Dame was, are they 24 now, perhaps?
No, Notre Dame's out of the rankings.
Oh, they were 24?
Yeah.
This was the first time these teams had played since 1981. So if you're ever going
to
go, you may not see your teams play for another generation. You got
to
go.
Plus, it's a perfect weekend, too, if you're an Atlanta fan, because you had the Falcons play the Bears in Chicago, so you could do both.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Good point. I bet some people did do that.
Alex
bet
George.
Those people had a hell of a weekend.
Alex George went.
Ah, repeat guest Alex George had a good one. Had a good time.
Good for Alex.
But any other thoughts on the college football weekend? Penn State looked solid, but Pitt covered. Obviously, like I said, 21's too many points for an in-state robbery.
Barely.
Texas pitched a shutout against San Jose State. Very impressive win.
56.
Yeah, that's great.
That you want to see that out of your defense though, recovering after giving 51 to Maryland.
You pitch a shutout. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Against,
are they back?
Against San Jose State is Texas.
I would like to announce it. Texas is officially back.
Did you see the photos of the stadium of UT?
Yes.
There's nobody in
the crowd. That's how UT fans are, man. I mean, an 0-1.
No, I get
against
it. Against
San Jose State.
I get it. I'm just.
I mean,
it's
still
just
better
sad.
Than the NFL crowds in LA.
That was ugly.
By the way, the Rams just killed it. They looked like a legit team.
Jared Goff.
He played well.
Yeah. Who shockingly follows me on Twitter and like 400 other people. I have no idea why.
Could be listening to this podcast right now. Who knows?
Maybe a big backdoor cover guy. But yeah, he played really well.
Well, Jared, if you are listening, we would like you to give us a call because we want some insider information. Maybe get you to throw a game. Shave some points.
Yes.
Definitely shave points.
If that's
for
a possibility, we'd like to talk.
We won't tell anybody.
We will not. We will not tell anybody.
Yeah, let's just run down the top 10 real quick. Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, USC, Penn State, Washington, Michigan, Ohio State, Oklahoma State, Wisconsin. Oklahoma State, they're putting up points, so I think maybe hit the over every time they play.
Maybe, unless they're playing fucking.
Where is Bedlam this year?
Clemson.
Is it Stillwater or Norman? We need to find that out. That's going to be a big game if
Bedlam.
If these teams hold
Bedlam
pattern.
Yeah, what's okay, yeah. So I guess do we have
another surprising team in the Big 12, TCU. Looks pretty good. Kenny Trill still holding it down.
Yeah, that guy. What's up, Micah?
Bedlam is November 4th in Stillwater.
Ooh.
Tough place to play.
That's it for NCAA this week.
That's the game for the Big 12, I think.
We will be back on Thursday to talk about the upcoming slate of games this next weekend for week 3. But until then, no more college football talk today. We're done.
Mm.
You can support this podcast by checking out Man Outfitters at manoutfitters.com. Also, download the Man Outfitters app in the App Store. For those of you who are not familiar, what Man Outfitters is, a big part of what we do here at Grand X, we curate the best menswear from the best brands so that you have an easier shopping experience. Instead of having to go through 1,000 different things that some brand might offer, we've got 10 best things right there for you. There you go. You can use the code Backdoor at checkout to get 10% off your next order, your entire order. So just type in backdoor when you're checking out on manoutfitters.com and you will automatically get 10% removed from your entire checkout price. We've got great stuff on there from Mizzen and Main and Outdoor Voices, both of which could be considered fantastic tailgate wear, depending on, you know, if you're a neutral fan, maybe you're just going to a bar for the game or something instead of tailgate. Any Man Outfitters products in particular that you two fools would like to touch on?
I mean, obviously, Mizzen Guy. But we the performance shorts that Vineyard Vines has,
ooh,
highly recommend those.
Nice.
Do you? Currently wearing them right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
They look good. They look good. Also, we got great watches from Jack Mason.
Did you mention Patagonia yet?
No, we've not. Patagonia,
well,
obviously fantastic.
As we know, it's getting cool outside.
It is.
It's that time of year.
Fall is coming.
It is time to layer up, get you some fleece, get you a jacket.
The new Patagonia stuff we've got on manoutfitters.com is very attractive.
Plenty of long-sleeve tees.
You will look 1 point hotter than you actually are to females if you purchase one of these fleeces. That is a manoutfitters.com guarantee.
Wow.
Not legally binding in any way.
You're going to like the way you look.
You are.
Wait, we can't
go
there.
Steal
you can't say. Well, maybe we can.
Man.
That guy got fired.
No, that guy's dead, isn't he?
I thought he owned the place.
He's not dead. He just got fired from his own company. I think you can say that. You just can't say we guarantee it.
Yeah, yeah. There we go.
Okay. Well, also, let's talk about sacks. They're boxers for your balls. You put your junk inside of these boxers.
I have some on right now.
Yeah. Now, sacks is S-A-X-S.
You should show the camera?
You probably show the camera right now.
Yeah, just take your dick out. Sacks is S-A-X-X. We have these on manoutfitters.com. First of all, they look cool. There's great designs. But also, they're extremely comfortable.
Yes.
They will make your junk feel spunky.
Okay, so let me, inside, it has like these two thin pieces of fabric that connect from, well, it basically keeps your balls from hitting your leg, is what I'm trying to say. It's like
it's a pouch
built inside. It's not necessarily a pouch because it's just, some of the pouches, it makes your junk stick out, like do the Conor McGregor
thing. Some other brands that are a little,
But these, I'm telling you, man, they're awesome.
Okay, so this is the pouch, but solving the awkward, hey, look, here's my penis part.
Yeah.
That's good.
They're dope.
I've got a couple of those, hey, look, here's my penis boxers, and just look like
it makes you feel bigger than you are.
But you can't walk around with those.
Nah, it's not the best
look. You look like a sexual predator.
You're trying to impress a chick, and she's like,
that's too much.
You're like, dude, get that out of my face.
Nobody wants to see that, not even people who love you.
Right.
We've also got great shoes on manoutfitters.com from Sperry, ton of other brands. Go to manoutfitters.com, use the code BACKDOOR, save yourself some money, get some good shit to wear this football season. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back to talk NFL.
Hey, this is Dave, and I am with the Dudes Doing Business podcast. We are a business lifestyle podcast for you kids who are about to graduate and anybody who's even, you know, a few years out of school, or maybe you're like a 45-year-old man or woman. We're for you, too.
Anybody that's trying to figure out how to navigate their professional career.
Nothing's off limits. We're here for you. If you got questions, we take emails. We got a hotline. Just give us a chance to earn your business. That's all we ask for. Find us again. It's at Dudes Doing Biz on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe, Dudes Doing Business. Thanks.
How about Touching Base listener Sam Skinner, who said, I'm so confused by Touching Base, but I also need an episode every day for the rest of my life.
That's a great point, Sammy Skins. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. You know what we are? We're a podcast, and nothing's off limits.
We will touch on every base possible.
If you got a base, I'm touching it. So is Dylan. So is Will.
Listen to us. Subscribe. Leave a review.
All right, we're back. Time to talk about something that I'm personally very unhappy with, which is NFL football. Let's just start with Texans-Jags so that I can get this out of the way.
Did your boy have a weekend or what?
Can I talk weed and boys later?
We will definitely get to the Cowboys, but Texans first. Holy God, it is time to fire Bill O'Brien.
Maybe pump the brakes.
No. Dude, okay. No. He's only ever gone 9-7. He rolled Tom Savage out knowing goddamn well. No one watching what you watched,
close family
how
friend,
could
Tom
anybody
Savage.
Have decided Tom Savage was a better option than Deshaun Watson?
I don't recall a quarterback playing at the professional level with such miserable pocket presence.
He's a fucking statue.
He doesn't understand the pocket and when it's closing in and who's around him at all.
He has no idea.
Like,
the Jags had 10 sacks.
Even going back to Cardinal O'Hara football high school, Tommy was never really an in-game guy. He's always been just a guy that shows up to the combine and impresses scouts with that huge arm, that like huge size. Like he's just the prototypical like guy you want as a quarterback on paper, but when he's actually on the field, he never delivers. O'Hara was never good with him. Like when he was starting in high school, he went to Rutgers, then he bounced around, transferred to Pitt. Eventually, he was never really the guy.
Well, long story short, he sucks ass.
Well, there's
and he shouldn't have fucking started.
Him.
Dude, Calais Campbell set the franchise record for sacks in a game.
Dude had 3.5 sacks in the first half or something
in
like that.
In the first fucking half? How the fuck? What? He was on pace for 7 sacks at halftime.
If you're a young quarterback and you're trying to learn the position, play the tape and do exactly what Tom Savage does not
Now, I will say this. He's working behind the most abysmal offensive line that I've seen in a very, very long time. Just absolutely terrible. The only good offensive lineman we have, Dwayne Brown, is currently holding out to try to get a new contract, which thanks a lot, Dwayne. Really, really helped out the squad here. We lost 29-7. Jags 29, Texans 7.
Can we be fair to the Texans for a second, though? Have they even been practicing? I feel like J.J. Watt has just been like boots on the ground, helping. Like he's just been helping the city of Houston by himself. He hasn't actually practiced.
They had the entire offseason. This has only been the last few weeks. And most of the time,
it's a lot to deal with.
Okay, the Saints' first game back after Katrina, they pounded ass.
Also, shouldn't you play a little inspired, Dan?
Yes. Think? This was the opposite of everything you want to see. It was absolutely terrible. Nothing about the team looked promising in any way, shape, or form.
Also,
just shocking how terrible Tom's
average. I'm going to throw a hot take out here right now. Jacksonville Jaguars are going to make the playoffs.
I think they are better than people expected, but I also think it's really tough to judge against this game because the Texans were that bad.
My boy
still have Blake Bortles at quarterback.
All my boy Bobby Bortles needs to do is not turn the ball over, and he just lets the team like hand the ball off to Leonard Fournette.
For the record,
play good defense.
Bortles went 11 for 21 for 125 yards and a touchdown.
He sucks too.
Make no mistake, Blake Bortles is a terrible quarterback.
It's not like he did anything good. This was a very mediocre.
Don't turn the ball over,
Ross,
Bobby.
Can I ask you a Bill O'Brien question?
Please do.
Last season, didn't the Texans go through all of training camp? Was it Brian Hoyer was named the starter for the first game?
We did this exact same
thing
with Ryan
Mallett.
He came
out and said, he's the starter, he's our guy, and then he benched him the second week?
Or maybe at halftime.
No,
I think it was at halftime of the first game.
He did the same thing this week. That's fucking crazy.
To repeat that kind of mistake is inexcusable, and in my opinion, I'm not kidding. I like Bill O'Brien as a human. I think he's a nice guy. I think he's a great dude off the field. On the field, he is fucking awful. This is terrible.
Also, isn't he a QB whisperer?
No, that's the biggest crock of shit.
Because he had Tom Brady. Because
he had Tom Brady. He got this reputation as some kind of quarterback
guy.
That's
what I'm saying. He's the QB
guru. What a fucking joke, dude.
I don't understand. NFL, they do mini camps and preseason and training camp for months. And he does he makes the exact same mistake.
It's fucking insane.
This is our guy. He's gonna be our guy. At halftime, he's out.
Yeah,
bring in somebody. He gets one half.
Like that. The really discouraging part is you lose the whole team's confidence at that point. How was anybody supposed to believe that you, as a head coach, know what you're doing if you can't even pick a quarterback?
Dude, that's how coaches are with that position, though. The quarterback is such a different
position, fickle.
Man.
Okay, then explain this. The fucking Texans defense goes in ranked incredibly high, supposed to be badass. All the fantasy shit that I saw had them ranked as like the number one defense for this week, partially because people thought the Jags were going to be worse than they were, too. They were awful. Fournette steamrolled people. He looked very good.
Because he's an animal.
He looked very
good.
He's
a monster.
He's awesome.
The biggest takeaway from this game, because the rest of it was just shit, is that Leonard Fournette is going to be pretty fucking terrifying.
If you look at it from a different perspective, let's say he did start Watson. Watson's his name, right?
Deshaun Watson.
Let's say he did start Watson, and let's say he went out there and threw, you know, two interceptions in the first half, threw for 90 yards and just struggled. O'Brien would have been answering questions about that.
At least you're trying to make a change,
and it's a rookie quarterback. I think the leash is a little longer when you have a rookie.
Absolutely, because you're trying to get this guy experience.
It's like you kind of expect him to be a failure, not a failure, but to have his ups and downs as a rookie.
Like, Deshaun made some of the rookie mistakes that you see rookies make in the second half, and that's fine. I don't blame anybody for that. That's just the learning curve. But the more he can get into it now, the better he'll be quicker, my point.
Tommy's been in the league for at least, five, 6 years?
Yeah, there's also a theory that you don't throw a quarterback in there
until they're ready and kind of shake
the confidence.
When your other option is Tom Savage.
Hey, I'm just providing perspective here. I'm not saying
Here's the other thing, though. You throw him out there with like a 19-0 deficit hey, go out there, Deshaun. Good luck.
And sling the ball. Like, you're going to drop back and pass like every time.
Good luck, dude. Oh, we gave up 7 sacks in the first half. Hey, go out. Good luck. Go out there for your first time on an NFL field behind an offensive line that is just fucking Swiss cheese. Anyway, enough about the Texans.
Speaking about lines that are really, really trash and Swiss cheese, the Bengals.
Oh, my God.
That is a bad offensive line.
What the
Andy
hell
Dalton
happened to them?
Andy Dalton threw 4 interceptions. Does Marvin Lewis do enough to get fired this year?
If you continue to score 0 points a game, you probably get fired.
I don't know. Marvin Lewis is kind of just stuck around in Cincinnati for too long.
They scored 0 points in their home opener week one. Andy Dalton threw 4 picks. What the hell is going on with the Red Rocket? He's a weird one because he looks really good sometimes, and then sometimes he looks really, really bad.
Yeah. He's hot and cold, throws a good downfield ball, so he can put numbers up, but then he'll just struggle.
Can you imagine having paid for a ticket to this game? Your team puts up a fucking zero.
Goose egg.
You lose 20-0 to the Ravens.
To a division rival.
Oh, my God. Great start for them.
I like the start of this season, too, where we had a bunch of divisional games. I like that. Like, just immediately throw that
in
there.
Yeah, a bunch of cool matchups to start it off. Falcons-Bears was surprisingly a really good game.
That was a good game.
I did not see that coming.
Browns-Steelers
was a close one.
The Browns
are
going to
be better than
expected.
People think.
Antonio Brown caught a million passes.
Doesn't mean the Browns are going to be good. It just means the Browns are going to be like a decent, like they're going to be a NFL franchise now. They're going to win like 3 or 4 games.
Antonio Brown's one of those guys where when he has one of these 11 reception, 182 yards games, like it's tough to not get a touchdown in there somewhere. But he does this shit a few times a year where he'll get almost 200 yards receiving and just somehow never have found the end zone. It's really bizarre. What other games were fun?
Oh, the Lions. Lions coming back. Stafford started out miserable. It was 10-0 Cardinals. I think he threw a pick six, and then he just came back firing with 4 touchdowns, just tore up the Cardinals' D.
Dude, I love Stafford.
After
signing the biggest
contract in NFL history.
I don't think he gets enough credit, yep. man. 29-41. Four touchdowns.
What I like about him is he is the most natural thrower of the football probably in the NFL.
He's got a beautiful throw.
It just pops out of his hand. It's incredible.
Here's the thing about Stafford, though. I think he has 5 career wins against winning teams.
No, he has a bad...
Well, he plays for the Lions.
He's like the Tracy McGrady of the NFL. He's great. He's got all the skills you want. He just can't win when it matters.
Yeah, no, he beats the teams he's supposed to, and then like when he has to play a playoff team or a team that's like... relatively like on their level or better, he kind of struggles.
By the way, congratulations to Tracy McGrady, who was inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame.
Just had to get that in there
weekend.
A little NBA talk.
Just forcing it in, you know? T-Mac.
Having a career like that with 2 lazy eyes is very impressive.
And being high all the time, it's really hard to play basketball stoned.
Here, Mike, up the scoreboard a little bit. Let's run through it. The Raiders look pretty good. That's a good Titans team to beat in Tennessee.
I was surprised by that game.
Just how it went.
I thought the Titans were going to take a step forward, and they kind of looked like they went a little bit backward from last year.
Well, the Raiders are a damn good football
team.
I know.
You see Marshawn just flipping the bird
so
and just
fun.
Running people over.
Marshawn,
love to have
Marshawn.
Marshawn
threw double birds. At one point, he did a front flip when he missed it, like a pass or something. The guy is incredible. I can't believe he ever considered retiring. I wish he could stay forever.
No, that might have been a like good choice. He just took a year off, got some fresh knees.
That's true.
Hey, yeah. We them boys, though.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk Cowboys.
We them boys.
Let's talk about your fucking...
Defense, a lot of new faces in there. The secondary is... a lot of guys...
How much credit do you give to improvement on the defensive side of the ball versus how bad the Giants are, especially without Beckham?
Okay, you listen too much to the commentary of the game.
No. I watched the game.
No, here's the thing. Giants have a really bad offensive line as well.
But the Cowboys' defense all around looked 10 times better than last season.
They were flying around, man.
And what I'm saying is because I'm not like savvy enough to know how much of that is because the Giants look like shit. They put up 3 points.
They look like shit. To be fair, they were missing Odell Beckham Jr., but that's a receiver.
Dude,
that's
one fucking play.
Still got
that's
Brandon Marshall in there.
Brandon Marshall caught one ball with 8 seconds to go in the game.
Absolutely nothing.
The Cowboys defense looked really fucking good, and that was as a Cowboys fan, someone who wants to see them succeed, that's what you wanted to see in game one, because you know the offense is going to be there.
As someone that doesn't want the Cowboys to succeed, I was very pleased with a lot of the play calling by Jason Garrett. Where you have first and goal from like the 3-yard line, and you just throw 3 balls to Dez incomplete instead of just having the best running back in the league behind the best offensive line in the league.
It was first and goal from the 2.
First and goal from the 2. Okay, I said 3. Whatever. Semantics.
I have 2 quick takeaways as a Cowboys fan, and then I will yield the microphone. 1, Ezekiel Elliott is a fucking difference maker. That dude is a bad, bad dude.
Yes.
Like just his everything about him. He's different. I know they've got a great offensive line, but he's a bad man.
No, he is.
Man.
He needs to be given his share of credit.
As a Cowboys fan who hated that pick when they made it, I would agree. He's turned out to be
he's really
special.
Something. And I think the defense had more to do with the Giants having no playmakers. But DeMarcus Lawrence looked really good, and he's spent most of his career suspended for weed, I think. and so if he's actually back and playing,
shouts to Josh
be good.
Gordon. I know you're out there.
Hey, man, how's your career been going so far? Well, mostly I've just been suspended for weed.
That's just the story of Josh Gordon, too.
God, well, that's next level idiotic.
Anyway,
behavior.
We done boys.
Yeah, no, the Cowboys looked great. Very displeasing to me.
The Packers Seahawks was really hard to watch. Russell Wilson did not look very good.
Mainly the Packers defense,
another
similarly,
noted double lazy eye guy.
Similarly to the Cowboys, the Packers defense looked a lot better. They were at no point last year did they look like a good defense to me, and this was at least the parts that I can remember.
I think that was more a reflection of Seattle's offense, the offensive line, Russell Wilson not really completing the balls he needed to.
I don't know, man.
But at least Seattle.
Same argument as the Cowboys Giants game. Maybe. Yeah. We'll see. It's going to take more than one game for us to make a decision. But I thought the Packers defense looked a lot better.
Seattle's defense really impressed me.
Dan, you want to talk about your Eagles or something?
Yeah, we can. I'm not expecting much from Philly this year, but I just want to see some progression. I liked what I saw out of Carson. My boy Wentz.
He looked good.
Looks good. Especially second throw of the game, just kind of like dipping and dodging. Kind of looked very Roethlisberger-esque, just shaking guys off.
That was a sexy play.
That was.
Just throwing it up.
It was quite arousing.
Nelson Aguilar, kind of redemption tour for him. A lot of guys in Philly.
It's not Aguilar. He's not Hispanic. It's Aguilar.
No, it's Nelson Aguilar. regardless, a lot of guys in Philly are dogging on him because like he hasn't really lived up to the pick. He was a first-round pick. But he's going to get his time to shine. Now he's in the slot. So we'll see what he can do. He looked good.
Well, good for you. I'm happy for you and your team and their win this weekend. I want to make fun of someone real quick, and that would be the Indianapolis Colts as a franchise. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was ugly, wasn't it?
What the hell?
Well,
who's
the
guy that started Tolzien?
Scott Tolzien, yeah.
Scott Tolzien.
Apparently, Andrew Luck's shoulder is a lot worse than originally anticipated.
It wouldn't matter if they rolled fucking Tom Brady out there. They would have got their ass kicked. They fucking suck.
Quarterback position is so fucking vital.
I know that, but it's dude, insane. Did you see a single person on that field who looked like he wanted to be
I'm
out
just
there?
Saying, the difference between a great quarterback in your huddle and
I know,
one, it's nuts.
It's the biggest difference maker in sports.
Scott Tolzien, first throw of the season, he threw a touchdown. To the other team.
Yeah. Dude, if getting pounded by the Rams, who are not very good. Last year, at least, they weren't.
They might. They're probably not good. No.
They're probably not good now. I can't tell based on this game because it was impossible to see.
Granted, Jared Goff
46-9.
I think Goff was 21-29, like 300 yards.
Yeah, one touchdown.
Not bad, Goff. Not
Frank
bad.
Gore is still the Colts running back.
I didn't even know he's still in the league.
Frank Gore is like 52 years old.
You know he's like a top 10 rusher of all time.
Yeah, he'll be in the Hall of Fame.
Mike, I'm glad you put the note up on there. Did you guys hear Chuck Pagano after the game? Who gave credit to the wrong team who just beat their brains in. he called the Rams the 49ers.
We got our asses kicked, and credit the 49ers and Coach McVay.
Okay, so here's
Pagano
the thing.
Pagano doesn't even know who they're playing.
When does Pagano's cancer card run out?
This is it. It's near the end. And first of all, he can't call it a cancer card.
You can.
The man beat cancer. Good for Chuck Pagano. Great guy. But at this point, whatever they've got going in the
NBA, don't even know who they're playing.
It is not working. This is the AFC South is a fucking joke, a disaster of a division,
and that is why the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to win it.
Dan, in no way would that be surprising or worthy of acclaim.
They could win it like 8-8,
yes,
easily.
We've won it 9-7 the last like few years, and we fucking suck. We being the Texans. What, Micah?
Can we just talk about Ben Roethlisberger, who won in Cleveland, is now 22-2 against the Browns all time and 11-2 in Cleveland, and has won more games as a starting quarterback in that stadium than any other player, including Browns quarterbacks.
Well, that makes sense because the Browns have rotated through like 100 quarterbacks in the last 12 years.
No matter how you slice it,
that is a ridiculous.
Ben Roethlisberger has won more games in Cleveland Stadium than any Browns quarterback?
That's correct.
They need to shut that franchise down.
No, they're on the up and up.
How are you that bad for so long?
The Browns are they're
my
in the right direction.
Going up and up, Dan.
My
the Browns are the
to
Browns
the
are going in the
them.
Right direction.
Yeah.
Okay,
this is
a competitive game.
This
Ties
is their
19th solid.
Year back. They're 1-18 in openers.
I'm telling you, the Browns. This is their guy. This is Kaiser is going to be the guy in Cleveland for the next.
He did
few
look
years.
Pretty decent for
he's
a
good,
his first start.
He did
for the Browns too. He's the guy moving forward. They have some talent on that team. And like, I'm not going to be shocked when the Browns are like, you know, maybe competing for the division.
When they're
4-12,
you're not going to be shocked when they have a great season like that.
In 3 years, when they're competing,
yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. What do we got tonight? Monday Night Football.
We have two games.
Two games. What a blessing.
We got Adrian Peterson going back to Minnesota.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting to see what kind of effect he has on this thing. But the first game is at 6:10.
Broncos Chargers is the other one?
Yeah. First game is Saints Vikings at 6:10 Central Time. This should be a fun one. I mean, it's always fun to watch Drew Brees play. Minnesota's favored by 3. Over-under's 48.
How are they stacking these games time-wise, by the way? Are we going to stay up till 2 watching one of them? Is that how they're doing it?
Yeah, the second one doesn't start till 9:20 p.m. Central Time, Chargers-Broncos.
Yeah, they used to do...
It's going
to
end around midnight.
They used to have, like, Berman announce that last game, right? Yeah. Back in the day? Or not anymore, obviously, because
he retired.
To get him
to, like, yell a lot.
Yeah.
To keep people awake.
Tick, 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 tick.
Yeah. Denver's favored by 3. Over-under's 42. Is Bradford still the Vikings quarterback?
Yeah, so Bridgewater. You know,
Bridgewater
is still hurt.
His leg was in a million pieces last year.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
it's,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think he's gotten it to.
It's been
least,
a year
like,
since he injured 50 his leg.
I know, So is he like? When does he do back? Because he looked really promising before that.
I don't know.
He was serviceable.
He looked good.
Tommy Two
serviceable.
You can't be called serviceable as a rookie.
Teddy Two Gloves. I mean, not Tommy. His name's Teddy.
Teddy Two Gloves.
Teddy Two Gloves.
Great it is kind of sad though when you think of that back on that draft that Blake Bortles might have been the best quarterback to come out of that draft.
Truly pathetic.
That's sad.
Not a good year for quarterbacks.
No. But yeah, looking forward to Monday Night Football. Let's make some picks on these two. I'm gonna go Saints plus 3.
Can I look at the line? What's
going on? I just told it to you. Saints Vikings. Minnesota's minus 3. The over under is 48.
So that just tells you. It's even because it's in Minnesota.
It's in Minnesota, so it's essentially a pick 'em. Yeah,
it's a pick 'em.
I mean, so that's my logic, which is
Minnesota's
why
Minnesota's minus 3.
Yeah.
Oh, I have New Orleans plus 3.
Yeah. You get 3 points, and you got Drew Brees.
The over under is you said 48.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty confident taking the points with Brees under the helm.
Because the Saints have sucked ass as of late, so people probably see this and load up.
They still
Minnesota's
put points
way.
Up, man.
I know, but they were not a good team last year.
I hope Adrian Peterson just doesn't do anything.
I really hope he's not involved because I have, what's his fuck there?
Oh, are we going into fantasy stories right now?
I've got Ingram,
Dan,
man.
You need to stop shitting on fantasy because it's a lot of people are interested
it's
in
important,
it. Lots of
it's
people.
An important thing, Dan. Fantasy football.
And you're actually really missing out that you don't play.
Oh, I took the Saints.
Yeah. No, I actually woke up Sunday morning and I felt refreshed. I just came off. Great Saturday gambling, and I didn't have to set a lineup. So
imagine how much
no
fun
worries.
It would be if you got to watch fantasy football.
Good
all
for
day.
You. Shout out to me. I drafted Kareem Hunt and put him in and pounded our boss, Jason Fuentes, in game one of this Grand X Fantasy League that we've got going here.
Suck it, Jason.
Yeah. Kareem Hunt looked... When is the last time you see a performance like that out of somebody in their first game?
He set some kind of record for a debut running back. I don't know what.
Fumbled on his first
from,
carry.
Yards from
fumbled on his
maybe.
First carry, then 17 attempts, 148
yeah,
yards.
He looks to be pretty special.
Five
just
receptions.
One game. Everybody calm down.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
he's very clearly going to be the most important piece in their offense, though.
And of course.
They got him the ball like 64 times.
That was his coming out party, and it was also the game that showed that all the Alex Smith haters need to just like cool it because he's a decent quarterback.
Cool it.
He's not great, but he's good enough.
Yeah. No, that's always been the case with him, though.
But again, we discussed this. Like, the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs, but they're not a threat. You're not worried that the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl.
Kareem Hunt apparently said he was shocked at his the success he was able to have. That's kind of insulting.
He's just not
to not only
no self-confidence,
but
yeah.
To them, too, like to the other team. Man, that was shocking how good I was able to play. another rookie... Brother of J.J. Watt, T.J. Watt.
Quite a game.
Had an incredible showing in his first game. He had 2 sacks and an interception in the third quarter alone.
This is the passing of the torch from Watt to Watt.
It might be based on the fact that his brother J.J. didn't do shit. All he did was snap one of his fingers so the bone went through the skin.
Is J.J. the second best defender in his family?
I think it might be too early to say.
Compound fracture?
No. He dislocated his finger, but
the bone broke
the skin.
Oh, that's called a compound dislocation, I believe.
Well, the thing is that JJ gets off on stuff like that. He has to either be bleeding or injured in some serious way in every single game. So my theory is that once he realized he wasn't getting around their defensive line, or their offensive line, rather,
he just snapped
his own finger.
Oh, the thought of that. God.
We also had, oh, I forgot to touch on this. I'm sorry. The Texans had four different players go through concussion protocol, three of which were tight ends. We don't have any more tight ends. Guess when our next game is? It's fucking Thursday. So we don't have any tight ends that are going to make it through concussion protocol in time. It doesn't matter. Who fucking cares? I think we play Cincinnati. It's going to be shit-slinging contest.
What a shit game that's
going to
be.
You're on the Cincinnati?
Who the fuck is going to watch that? Yeah. Oh, we. You know what? Somebody did say that this week. We're on to Cincinnati, so it is Cincinnati. I'm 100% confident in that game now. But you know who's still on our team? Who's still a Houston Texan? Brian Cushing is still a starting linebacker.
How's he not like suspended for life for steroids? Like
he hasn't made a tackle in like since like 2014.
Hasn't he been popped for like steroids for like every season?
Dan, he hasn't been popped for steroids in a very, very long time. And as a result, he has sucked dick for a very, very long time.
Get back on the juice, Brian.
Sorry, yeah. They need to put that whole team on steroids. Everybody in the Texans locker room should be on steroids.
Second game tonight. We need a pick.
Let's Denver. Make a pick on Denver.
Denver.
San Diego.
They're not San Diego anymore.
L.A.
L.A. Chargers.
Good. That is weird.
That's right, yeah.
Isn't it weird?
That's going to take some getting used to.
What's the line?
Denver favored by 3. Over under 42. It's in Denver, the game.
I think I saw a stat. I think it was Stanford Steve, Scott Van Pelt's producer on ESPN, was saying like the most consistent guy that covers week one in his career was actually Philip Rivers.
Well, I like Chargers plus 3.
So I'm going to take the Chargers and the points. I'm going to ride with Philip.
I'm going with Dan. Chargers plus 3.
Yeah.
Dude, I like the Chargers, man. I think they have a good little team.
Not the Chargers. Yeah, they do.
What they got? Melvin Gordon?
I'm going to go Denver minus 3.
For funsies.
Just to switch it up.
To switch it up, be a contrarian. And I don't want Klein to angrily text me later and bitch me out for it. So.
Oh, well. Klein, it's money. It's business. It's not
nothing personal.
Personal,
yeah.
We love you, Klein.
Yeah. Chargers plus 3.
We also say his name on every podcast, I think.
Yeah, it's getting a little weird. It's getting a little weird for people who don't have any idea who that is.
Taylor, by the way, McCarg, his buddy, our buddy, friend of the show, former Rice QB, Taylor.
Yeah.
He wants to come in studio. I told him, yeah, whatever.
I think we should let him.
Okay.
We hung out with him on Saturday, Friday?
Friday. We did. Yeah. He stopped by the bar. Right before I spilled the drink, remember?
You've spilled 4 drinks, but yeah, sure. So speaking of these lines, these two picks we just made, for these two Monday Night Football games, you should go to mybookie.ag, use the code BACKDOOR to make a deposit. If it's your first deposit, you get up to 100% deposit bonus. So if you throw in 100 bucks, type in BACKDOOR, they give you another 100 bucks. There's some stipulations that come with that, so make sure you read those. But that's where you can go place your bets. All of the lines on this podcast from mybookie.ag. They've got in-game live betting, so even if you miss kickoff, you can place a bet. Get in there, get some action, make the game a little more exciting. That's probably what you're going to need to do for every Texans game for the remainder of the season. They're all going to be very, very boring. You're going to need a bet to make them worth watching. I know I will. Mybookie.ag, check it out. You play, you win, you get paid. Use the code BACKDOOR, get 100% bonus. That is that. Boxing. We're going to talk about boxing because there's an actually big boxing fight between two guys who are actual boxers.
Boxing fight?
It's a boxing match. Not between one retired 40-year-old and a UFC fighter, like two actual boxers. Canelo Alvarez and Triple G going down this Saturday. Triple G is a minus 160 favorite. Canelo's plus 130. I think I saw something that if Canelo wins this fight, he'll be considered the greatest Mexican boxer of all time. Is that correct? Anybody in here know anything about this to back me up?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay, sure.
How many notable Mexican boxers are there?
Lots. Viva la Mexico.
Well, I don't know. Conor McGregor called Floyd Mayweather a Mexican boxer after the last fight.
He said he turned him into a Mexican.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So maybe he's the greatest Mexican fighter of all time.
Okay.
That could be true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not. I identify as Mexican, actually. I don't know if you guys know that.
Your style.
I self-identify.
Your style is.
Racially, I identify as a Mexican. Over-under is 11.5 rounds for Alvarez, Triple G. That'll be if you're going to watch a boxing match that isn't Mayweather-McGregor this year, this is the one you're going to want to watch.
Right.
even if you don't give a shit about boxing, which I typically don't, I will probably watch this fight. I won't promise. No promises. I don't know what... A lot of days between now and then. Who knows what could happen? Life is crazy.
You're at least, like, watching the Periscope.
Yeah. And now it's time for Dan's baseball minute.
Is it?
Do you have a baseball minute?
I do not.
That was always Dan's baseball minute.
It's just always up there.
We hope you enjoyed that.
What's going on in baseball?
The Astros,
the Indians are on fire.
Well, yeah. Indians are really good.
18 straight, maybe?
The Indians are the new Astros. The Astros are the new who sucks dick. Well, we just got swept by the A's. We're not doing great. This is the part of the season where you really want to ramp it up.
Here, I'll do an off-the-cuff baseball minute.
We've got Cy Young winners out there.
There was a cool moment with...
getting dunked.
What's the Indian shortstop name? Something Lindor. I forgot his first name.
I don't know.
Francisco.
Too many baseball players. I can't remember all their fucking names.
He brings two bats to every game. He broke both of them and had to borrow one from a teammate. And first swing, he went deep with it.
Oh, here we go. The Nationals became the first team to clinch a playoff spot and wrapped up the NL East already.
Saw that.
Yes, I did see that too.
It's barely been September.
Fascinating. Good for them. Must be nice.
How are the Indians not clinched yet with all these wins they're stacking up?
Because of
it's a way more competitive division than the NL East.
Which division are they in? I don't even know.
The AL Central. So, like, Detroit,
help yourself to a
White
science
Sox.
Book,
science book?
What?
Twins, Royals.
That's sure.
That's a lame division.
That was Dan's baseball minute. We have a hotline. The number is 800-392-6344. On Thursday, we'll play the best hotline calls. Ask us a question. Say your name, where you're from, rant. Give us a take about a sport. Doesn't even matter which one, college football, NFL, tennis. How we not have tennis on here? Didn't Nadal win the U.S. Open? Well, there you go. We covered tennis. That was tennis.
Also, worth noting, the Dodgers have lost 10 straight. So that's baseball minute.
The Dodgers have lost 10 straight?
Yes.
Sweet. That's good. That's good for me. All right, 800-392-6344. Call the Backdoor Cover Hotline. As I said, in Thursday's podcast, we will play the best calls and respond to them. Do we have any more shouts? Shouts?
Shouts to Tom Herman for picking up that first dub as a UT coach.
Good for Tom. Really excited.
Hey, Tom, I still got your back. I know you're listening. I love you. Come hop in the studio, man.
I do not have your back. I will attack you relentlessly if you come into the studio, Tom.
Wow.
With questions, well, not physically. I will not assault. I'm not making an assault threat. With questions, reporter questions.
Shouts to Major Applewhite and the Houston Cougars who went to Arizona and got a big win.
Good friend.
They wear their city on their shirt, so shout to them.
Very true. Shouts to Applewhite. Big time. Win for the Cougs. Follow us on Twitter at Backdoor Cover. Follow us on Instagram at Backdoor Cover Podcast, where we put up photos and videos from tailgates and parties,
sports related stuff,
game day shit, all the stuff. Instagram, Backdoor Cover Podcast. Follow it. Brand new account. Already has like 50,000 followers. No big deal.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Subscribe on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, write a review, hitmanoutfitters.com. Use that code BACKDOOR to get 10% off your entire order. Check out mybookie.ag, use that code BACKDOOR to get 100% deposit bonus. Shouts to the state of Florida that's just getting rocked as we speak by, what is it, Irma?
Yeah, it's starting to calm down.
That's good. Well, make sure you give some money to Florida. Just if you helped out Houston, help out Florida too. Everybody in Houston is trying to do what they can to help out Florida, too.
I don't think as bad as originally anticipated.
It wasn't, but they still got a lot of flooding.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, strong winds.
Well,
I saw almost 6 million people out of power. That is tough.
Maybe look up like one of the islands in the what is it, the Pacific over there? Is that the Pacific? No, the Pacific. Whatever. The islands that got wrecked by Irma, they might need the help even more than Florida at this point. I don't know how you give them money.
Shouts to Facebook for letting me know all my friends in Florida are marked safe.
Shouts to Barbuda, which used to be an island.
No longer. RIP.
95% of which does not exist anymore.
Shouts to Richard Branson has to dip into his billions to rebuild his home out there on Necker Island.
Very tough.
Did you see that he hunkered down in his wine cellar?
Yeah.
It's pretty dope.
That is
lit.
So tight.
That's the way to ride out
of a hurricane. If I had a wine cellar, I'd hunker down in it 365 days a year, regardless of if it was hurricane season or not.
Yeah, it could be like sunny as hell.
Yeah.
I'm not going outside.
Fuck that. Wine cellar, hunker down. We will be back Thursday to talk about all of the upcoming college football and NFL games. We might even do a real baseball minute. Who knows? No promises, though. We'll be back then. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. Good night.
And good luck.
And
we love you.
And we love you.